And good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. My co-host today is Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Thursday, June 25th, 2020. Good afternoon, Butch.
Good afternoon, Melody. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We've had a good day here, too. Busy in the office all day. The phones are going crazy. But we had a good time. We picked on each other and laughed all through the day. That's good, right?
All right. That's what counts.
It is. Enjoy the day.
And I enjoy the day when gold prices are higher. And we have gold up today at $2.60 at $1,764. Silver was up 33 pennies. It came down below 18. Looking at 1789. Platinum was up 5, 803. Palladium was down $27, 1888. The USDX today was stronger, 0.17 at 97.36. Crude oil was up a little over a dollar at 39.03. And the stock market today, you know, it was down 250 points. We'll talk about why it reversed itself to where we're now at up 299 points, 25,745. The NASDAQ was up 107, 10,017. The S&P was up 33 at 3,018. The 10-year yield today was 0.67. That was down 0.01. European Asian markets really didn't do anything. Japan was down the most, 1.22%. But again, let's go back to the Dow. It was down 250 points yesterday after the big decline. Every time the markets have a big decline, the Federal Reserve and the banking and the FDIC all come to the rescue. And they did it again today. They're going to ease restrictions that were created in the aftermath of the Great Recession. And that made all the markets turn around, especially the bank stocks. The FDIC insurance, the Federal Deposit Insurance Commission officials said on a call that they are loosening the restrictions from the Volcker rule. Try and say that three times. Allowing banks to do more easily to where they can make large investments into venture capital and similar funds. The banks will also be able to avoid setting aside cash for the derivatives trades between different units of the same firm, potentially freeing up billions of dollars in capital for the industry. And of course, you know, all the shares of the big banks, JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, Morgan Stanley, they were all trading more than 2% higher following the announcement. And of course, they were, you know, all in the negative territory at that time. So the move is in line with the broad push by the White House to roll back regulations put in place by previous administrations. While the banking industry has acknowledged the benefits of being required to hold more capital to cushion losses, lobbying groups, individuals, J.P. Morgan, Jamie Dimon, they have criticized parts of the post-financial crisis regulatory regime as being overly restrictive or redundant. And, of course, we all know that the Volcker Rule is part of the 2010 Dodd-Frank Act, which was passed in an attempt to prevent another financial crisis caused in part by the irresponsible risk-taking banks. And, of course, you know, you could say that there's too many restrictions, but sometimes you need restrictions. Sometimes you need rules. Sometimes you need, especially for banks, because they're the problem child. They're the ones that create all the problems, along with Wall Street. And, you know, and it's your money. I guess if you don't care about your money, then so be it. But it's all of our money, because then they have bailouts that we have to pay. And we already have a system that's ready to collapse. So instead of letting the stock market fall to where they don't want to harm, think of all the retirement and pension accounts that have stocks in there, because that's the only positive numbers that they have. Butch, it's insane. It just irritates me. They create all these programs, all on the backs of the taxpayers of this country, course, I don't know who the taxpayers are anymore. Nobody's working. But it's just, you know, the FDIC and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency are set to vote on the rule changes, and the Federal Reserve and the Securities Exchange Commission, they also have to sign off on it. And Sheila Bair, she chaired the FDIC for a five-year term during the financial crisis, called the two changes ill-advised. She says, as a former chair of the FDIC, it won't surprise you to hear me say that the $40 billion that will no longer be in banks to protect them against derivative exposures will likely increase risk to the government. Hello, of course. Bank stocks, they've been beaten down. You can't have that. They've made billions of dollars in the past years, but heavens forbid if their bank stocks get a little negative. The industry is also...
I'm going to say, just stop and think. All this has been called because of fiat currency. When we had constitutional monies, this couldn't happen. It wouldn't happen. At least not to this extent. They can control it better. But fiat money has done this since 1930s. This is where we are today.
And this is where we are today. You know, it created all the social programs. It was a long time coming. But those who designed the system, look what they reaped. Billions of dollars. True. The multinational corporations were able to come in and take advantage of the fiat system because government needed their money. And the multinational corporations needed the government. So, I mean, it's just like, you know, I guess this is just progression. It evolves. It evolves from the fiat system.
It's payday. It's catch-up time. It's payday.
And now we're at
payday.
We're
payday.
But yet they're going to protect the system for as long as they can. On your dime, on your back, savings. No wonder there's people in the streets. Because when you get that division, that's what you get. So they have to deal with it. But again, we look at this. You know, today the industry, I haven't seen them. We'll talk about them probably tomorrow, about the Fed's annual stress test on banks. But I even heard that they loosened up so much of the requirements prior to this, and it's not going to show anything. But again, they save all these little programs, all these little announcements. You know, when the Dow breaks, and I was only down, what, 700, 800 points yesterday. It was down 250 this morning, and they can't carry it through, so they got to plug it, and they did. How many more programs do they have left in their back pockets? I don't know. It's amazing, Butch.
It is.
And for those who have stocks, hey, you know, I feel for you. I get it. But if you think you're going to ride it through and think you're going to fare well at the end, you think these dividends are going to continue to pay? You think this is good for the banks? Didn't we have a problem with derivatives before? These are all the same problems. Only we're in a worse position now than we were before to handle them. And they were wrong the last time. But they were able to pull that rabbit out of their hat. Get the stock market to come back from 6,000 to 26,000, and now everybody thinks that they could do it again.
Yeah, I remember Bob Chapman talking about derivatives years ago and warning people this has got to come to a head sooner or later. The only credit I can give these people is they have been they've thought these things through in ways to keep pulling, like you said, rabbits out of their hats. They figured out how to do it time after time after time. And for ingenuity, I got to give them an A+. Because they managed to do it so far.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's phenomenal. And every time they do it, it backs the dam up that much higher. So when it does break, it's going to be that much worse.
You know, that's what cracks me up. I hear all this commentary from various places. Oh, the big event's coming next week. Oh, the big event's coming. You know what? I've learned in 25 years, these people, those who control things, the bankers, Federal Reserve, government, multinational corporations. You can never underestimate their power and their abilities to take this on one day longer. So no one knows the time. No one knows the date. True. But every time you're wondering about that date and thinking that it's, well, it didn't happen today, so I don't know, you're still losing your purchasing power. Your dollar is buying less. You're earning less in the banks. Your statements might look good. The dollar amount might have stayed the same, but you're losing. They don't want you to save. They want all your savings in the stock market because they're the ones who are getting wealthy, not you. They don't want people to save. They want people
That's
to spend.
True.
They want you to go into debt.
They want people to have to depend on them and wait for them to give us next handout, the next program, the next
well,
cushion,
the
next
but
safety
everybody,
net.
But government, multinational, they want your money. Everybody's
That's
vying for your money. They don't want you to save. They don't want you to be safe. They don't want you to be independent. They don't want you to make choices. Because the more you are a slave to them, you think you're actually, it's just so. When you see it, how true it is and how simple it is, and you see how how this has all been designed by a plan, it's amazing.
And how they manipulate us. They manipulate us. They move us around like a checker on a checkerboard.
You know, the propaganda just floats. How they've just divided this nation.
They have.
In so many ways. And there isn't anyone from the top down that is trying to unite this country. It's amazing. None of these mayors or governors or senators or congressmen or presidents, even the media is at fault. It's amazing, Butch.
It is.
Just keep keep putting fuel on the fire. So.
And that's intentional. That's intentional.
That's all
it has intentional. To be intentional.
It is.
You know, it's just like this article here kind of talk about dividing people. New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut order quarantine for visitors from states with high infection numbers, and as those states include. Alabama, Arkansas, Arizona, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Washington, Utah, and Texas. So if you go to any of these three states, you're going to be quarantined. Now, this is what really gets me. Cuomo said, the sweet macho hoodlum from the governor of New York said, if you come into this state and you do this wrong, it's a $1,000 fine the first time. A $5,000 fine for a repeat offense. Now, I'm trying to get in my head, what does he mean, repeat offense? Does he mean if you come in the state and you don't follow the orders and do the test where you come across the state border, and the first time $1,000 fine, next time $5,000? I mean, where's this going to end? How dare they tell me, I have family in New York State that I need to go see. Very much so. One of them is very ill right now. But am I going to be harassed for crossing the state lines? I mean, is the governor going to, I'm not from one of these states, but what gives him the authority to fine people for crossing state lines? When do we have state borders where you almost have to have a passport to get in? You follow my story? What is he trying to say?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have permission to get into the states now if you don't follow the rules. And I'm looking at this and thinking, this is ridiculous. Even California has cut off all state travel to Utah because Utah won't condone homosexuality in the public like the California has. So they cut off all state travel. No more going to Utah from California if you work for the state. So I'm looking at this and thinking, this is all part of the plan to do what? Cause more chaos? More anger? What's working? They're making me mad. I mean,
yeah, but I don't think
this is what we're
seeing.
Most
people mad. I wouldn't make those people.
I'm sure it doesn't. But don't you feel slighted when you're told if you were from another state besides where you are, but you were going into one of these states, you want to go see family, and they stop you and say you can't go without being quarantined 14 days? Will that bother you a little bit?
Well, I don't know how they're going to quarantine you. They're taking your word for it that you're going to go someplace and stay there for 14 days or 10 days. They had that coming here. It's like they had a big sign out here. If you, you know, on the freeway, if you come in from New Jersey or someplace, you had to quarantine. Well, how's that going to work? You tell me how that's going to work.
The nerve of them to even say that.
It's stupid.
And Cuomo's going to fine you $1,000 for the first offense?
And how are they going to tell? I mean, it's stupid. I mean, there's no way they can even enforce it. So what? I don't get what the point is. The point is conditioning.
It's the audacity that even come up with something like this that bothers me. Who do you think they are,
they gods? How can they enforce it? They can't.
Well, I don't know how
there's
they do it.
There's only two ways they can enforce it. If they haul your butt off to a place for 15 days or 10 days, that's the only way they can enforce it. They don't have people to follow you around.
But to have the nerve to even propose this.
And that's conditioning. And that's the conditioning.
It is conditioning. It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
It is.
It is. And while they're doing all this, businesses are going bankrupt. Chunky Cheese. I mean, most children know what Chunky Cheese is. That was a big deal with my family in Colorado Springs. Chunky Cheese declared bankruptcy. Chunky Cheese. I mean, there's a big, adults too, but you know, a lot of kids gathered there and they had pizza and played games. Chunky Cheese went bankrupt. These things, Melody, this is ridiculous. And a 70-year-old man from Seattle, 70 years old, got a bill from his, he was in the hospital for COVID, got a bill from the hospital for $1.12 million. His room in intensive care was almost $10,000 a day. And the bill was 181 pages long for drug cost. This is what we're seeing. Oh, my. Don't get me started on all this stuff. I'll be going forever.
Yeah, but Medicare would cover it.
Oh, would it? Yeah. Not all of it. I know that for a fact.
He's 70-some years old.
And he'll end up paying at least 20% of that, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And what 20% of $1.12 million is more than I got in my bank right now. Mm-hmm. So it is what it is.
Depends on what the supplement was.
Yeah,
I mean, it is all crazy. It really is.
It is crazy. I mean, 42 hospitals have closed, declared bankruptcy. 42 of them because of the COVID pressures. Lack of patients, no money coming in. I mean, 42 hospitals are closing the doors. In some areas, with small areas especially, that's a big deal, Melody. What are you doing if a hospital to get by to very quickly? Within, say, an hour's drive or less. And they're closing.
Some of them need to be closed as bad as they do. But anyway, it's a bad hurt on a community. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. We're heading into a break. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. You know, I just want to get back to a little bit of gold and so forth. And there was an article out of Reuters from the chancellor coming out of London. And he's talking about the massive fiscal deficits and the money printing engendered by the coronavirus pandemic. And he says that it should see off the threat of deflation. Rather, the specter of inflation now beckons. He's saying inflation is coming. The return of inflation is the best way. Governments want inflation. Governments need inflation because of the debt that they carry. And this is what he is saying. He says, while its potential horrors should not be downplayed, the return of inflation is the best way to resolve great imbalances and festering social discontents that beset the global economy. Some $10 trillion worth of fiscal support is propping things up during the pandemic year. Fiscal deficits in the United States and elsewhere have blown out. Governments are not financing themselves with tax hikes or by drawing on private savings, but rather turning to printing money. The U.S. money supply is expanding at its fastest rate since the Second World War. The newly printed money isn't trapped in Wall Street, as was the case with the Federal Reserve's QE programs. I disagree with that because the Federal Reserve is still doing the QE program, so it's going both. But a lot of it is going directly to Main Street, as the government guarantees emergency lending by the commercial banks, and they've just lightened up on the banking regulations too. The inflation risk is further heightened by America's going to war, ongoing trade war with China, the world's top supplier of cheap manufactured goods. In the short term, high levels of unemployment in the West and a severe worldwide recession. The IMF expects global output to shrink nearly 5% this year. But once the velocity of money reverts to its pre-coronavirus levels, inflation is going to explode. You know, four decades have passed since the great inflation of the 70s. It's worth recalling the ill side effects of that era. Wealth was randomly redistributed between inflation's winners and losers. Debtors did well at the expense of lenders. Savings held in cash and bonds wiped out. Treasuries became known as certificates of confiscation. As interest rates soared, stock market valuations collapsed. The Dow Jones Industrial Average didn't rise between 1965 and 1980. In August of 1979, a Business Week headline famously observed the death of equities, how inflation is destroying the stock market. Bubbles formed in inflation beating assets. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? As gold and silver. Inflation wasn't good for business either. Price signals, they were disrupted. Profits corrupted. Capital misallocated. During the 70s, U.S. productivity growth limped along at 1% per annum, roughly a third of its post-war average. The Fed's stop-and-go attempts to control inflation resulted in frequent economic downturns. The U.S. experienced four recessions between 69 and 82. The fact that inflation continued to rise at a time of unemployment gave rise to the term stagflation. So the economic crisis inflamed social conflicts as powerful forces scrambled to maintain the share of the shrinking pie. How much of that are we seeing already? Union, and it'll get worse. Unions battled with employers.
Do you remember when Nixon put in price controls?
Sure did. You had workers do better than pensioners, yeah.
That's right. That's a fact.
As the price of energy, food, and raw materials climbed faster than incomes, the consequences fell more cruelly on the poor, who paid a large portion of their income on food, fuel, and shelter. So, David Hacker Fisher wrote in his book, The Great Wave, he noted that the three trends Americans identified as the most urgent social problems facing the nation, crime, drugs, family disruption, all correlated with the rates of inflation. As the Nobel laureate economist Friedrich Hayek commented at the time, inflation acted like a drug, requiring larger and larger doses to provide the same amount of stimulus. By unleashing inflation, the authorities found themselves holding a tiger by the tail. It was impossible to hold on, but dangerous to let go. Eventually, and here we come back to the Fed under Volcker, found the courage to slay the tiger, but Volcker's attempt to control the money supply sent commercial lending rates above 20%. It took double-digit rates of unemployment and two severe recessions to reach price stability. This is what we face, ladies and gentlemen. This is what the guy, the chancellor out of London, is saying. Inflation is coming. It's already here, but not to the degree we've been able to weather what little inflation or the inflation that we've had by debt and by exporting our inflation to China, so all their little cheap little trinkets come into this nation that we can afford. So there was ways in which to fool the people. If we didn't use China, inflation would have bit us a lot harder a long time ago. So again, this article keeps talking about, at first sight, it seems incredible that policymakers today should risk another such outbreak. Many of the curses associated with inflation already exist. Since Lehman Brothers went bust, productivity has slumped back to the 70s levels. Inequality has climbed. An opioid epidemic has brought about so many deaths of despair that the U.S. life expectancy has contracted. The destabilization of social values and widespread loss of trust found in the 70s are evident. We see inflation everywhere, except in the Consumer Price Index, because the government lies about it. Inflation causes are in part monetary and in part economic, but it's also a symptom of the collapse of social order, not just in the 70s, but in earlier periods such as Weimar Germany and the revolutionary France. But every great crisis, Fisher notes, a period of growing imbalances and increasing instability. Today, the world is faced with extreme economic imbalances, excessive debt levels, which brought about the 2008 collapse, it's continued rising. This year, the debt will climb at the fastest rate ever. Ultra-low interest rates have led to capital being misallocated. In the era of zero interest rates, savings for retirement has become impossible. In many countries, the younger generation can't get a foot on the housing ladder. So, this is just... Everybody can understand this. You have, with every price revolution, according to Fisher, is marked by dark visions and restless dreams. Okay. Sex and cults, often angry and irrational, multiply rapidly. Intellectuals turn against their societies. Young people give way to alienation and cultural anomie. All of this sounds depressingly familiar. The final stage may be triggered by some minor disturbance, he suggests, such as a change in the weather, an epidemic, or incompetent leaders. We got all of that. It's nearly a quarter of a century since Fisher wrote these prophetic words. At the time, he mooted that the 20th century's price revolution had yet to reach its climax. The COVID-19 pandemic may yet do the trick, and once inflation has taken its toll, many of today's economic imbalances will pass away and social discontents will abate, as they have in the past. The ride won't be comfortable. It can't be avoided, but you can make that ride a little bit more comfortable if you have gold and silver, because that's the only thing that's going to help you financially. So That was a pretty good article.
It was, and this article ties right into that, Melody. IMF says global economic collapse caused by coronavirus will be even worse than feared. The IMF on Wednesday printed a bleak portrait of the global economy, saying coronavirus pandemic has caused more widespread damage than expected and will be followed by a sluggish recovery. The global economy will shrink this year by 4.9%, worse than 3% decline predicted in April. No major economy is escaping the pandemic. The U.S. economy, the world's largest, is expected to shrink this year by 8%. Countries that use a single European currency are headed for a decline of more than 10%, while Japanese output will fall by 5.8%. They call it the Second Great Depression. Of course, 2009 being the last that they talk about. But I do believe, I may be wrong, and I hope I am, this will be worse than 2009. What do you think about that?
Well, I think we've already, you know, pretty much like what this, you know, what I just talked about, I mean, we've experienced it, never went away. The inequalities is what we're experiencing. The social unrest, it's all part and being fueled by the gap. People aren't making it. You know, they might not see it that way. They might be reacting in a way that doesn't seem like it's just financial, that they're having a heart, but that's what it is. Society is breaking down along with our economy, along with our structure, our monetary structure. It's all happening at the same time. And it didn't happen overnight. It started back in the 70s. It started back when they took us off the gold standard. But it's just coming to the cusp now. And is it this year? Is it next year? I don't know. But I guarantee you we're closer now than we've ever been. It depends on how long the Federal Reserve can keep pumping out the money. But you have a small event. It could just be a very small event. I mean, look what's happened this year so far. What do you think is going to happen at the election? What do you think is going to happen this fall when the real numbers become more available to what has happened with our country shut down, the world shut down? You just don't get things back online overnight. I still haven't received my bike that I bought 2 months ago, and we're adding into July. There's no inventory out there. People don't have money to... It's all stopped. You just can't start an economy overnight. Businesses are only back half the way. Businesses are going out of business. Chuck E. Cheese, how many people do you think they employed? You know, they probably... It'd be interesting to see if their name was on the list for PPP. You know, how many of these companies got PPP and now they're, you know, filing bankruptcy? Well, I don't know. I don't know if we'll ever see that list. It's just,
there's so much, Melody, it's happening so fast, you can't really keep up with it any longer.
It
makes you... When's the next bailout due, by the way? What are they discussing on that now? For the business of the people again.
Well, a lot of those programs are supposed to end July, so I figured, I'll tell you when they'll announce it. At the next 1,800-point drop in the stock market, that's when they'll make their announcement.
But that could be any day.
It could. President Trump did lose the attempt to prevent Mary Trump's book from publishing.
Yes, he did.
That's two in a row for him.
So.
Well, I don't care much about Bolton. I think you know he's, you know, I wouldn't trust him, and you know he's a sleazebag.
He's a sleazebag. Yes, he is.
No doubt about it. So, you know, I take what he wrote in the book. I mean, what he wrote in the book, we already know. I don't think he really.
Same thing.
But
new.
This little lady, I think, is something different. I shouldn't
say
little lady.
I'm interested to see what her book's going to say. I'm a little bit interested to see what her book's going to say. I'm interested in that one.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But you know, as read another article, America's Jobless Claims Data Refused to Confirm V-Shaped Recovery. Now, this is, I did not know this. Another 1.48 million Americans filed for unemployment for the first time this last week. That's a total of 47.25 million out of work. I thought it was going down. I thought it dropped from 40 million down into 30 million or something. According to this article, the 14-week total was 47.25 million, dramatically more than any period in American history. So what's happened? What happened to all the bounce back? I mean, when you reopen businesses, everything go back to, Trump said, go put it back online, you know, just reopen businesses and everything right back to where it's supposed to be. Apparently, it's not working too well. What's your opinion on that?
Well, no, it's not working well because we know. I mean, we know people aren't going back to work. I mean, some people are afraid to go back to work. Some people are getting paid too much to go back to work. So, you know, you might not even see a turnaround in pay until those programs are eliminated at the end of July. Again, government programs are intent to make sure people don't go back to work. And people can make more being, and that's true. Not everybody, but people do, you know, it's a strange world that we live in. So
it's totally backward in a lot of ways. Totally backward in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Totally.
Yep.
You know, and the thought wave of bankruptcy filing suddenly soared most in 11 years. The wave started. This is the beginning of it. It appears that the wave has now arrived because, according to Bloomberg data, no less than 13 U.S. companies sought bankruptcy protection last week, matching the peak of the global financial crisis in 2009, of course. Now, folks, that's 2009 was a rough time. I remember that. I remember cities turning off streetlights because they couldn't pay the power bill. I remember that. What's this going to mean? Because cities have lost massive tax bases. And so have counties and states. If they had to shut the lights off then, what's going to happen now? That's something to think about. So we're seeing a bankruptcy now come into fruition, not to mention all the ones who are out of work, people didn't pay taxes. Really, that can't bode well for the whole countries, from the cities right on up to the states and on up. It can't bode well. It can't just change overnight. It will not turn around, if it turns around, for years to come. You agree with that?
I do, and I also agree that we're heading into a break. Do you agree with that?
I hear the music.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Please stay tuned.
Just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is...
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Oh, Butch, you know, I just saw a headline that says U.S. taxpayer money could wind up in China's coffers. American taxpayer dollars intended to help countries weather the global downturn could flow into Chinese Communist Party coffers. You're going to have countries that are going to be applying for IMF and World Bank funding, and then they're going to be looking to China for that funding too. And we really have to be careful that these multilateral institutions aren't used to pay off bad Chinese loans. You know, that's what happens with global institutions. And you know, when a time we can't even pay for our own, money's going to be going to other places. That's just amazing.
When you linked up the world economy, you destroyed, yep, we'll say, sovereign nations' economies. You did it. That's what it's all about.
What it was all about.
You hurt the independent nations. You hurt them desperately. Look at the European Union. Germany's hurting. I mean, they were doing very well. They were the richest country in the Union for a while. Mm-hmm. When you link together economies, the one that's the weakest drags the rest of them down. It doesn't work the other way around. It does. I'm sorry, folks. One rotten apple in the barrel will ruin the whole barrel. That's just the way it is. And it's happening.
And you know, people always think, every time a government comes out and does a good program. I mean, how many times do we have to learn that government can't run programs well? Treasury sent $1.4 billion in payments to dead people.
The government can't run the government. You know, so.
Jeez.
But anyway, but here's something we should invest in. I never thought about this. Canned meat booms as COVID recession crushes consumers. I never thought about this. As recession and pandemic overwhelm the Western world, the consumer is in rough shape. They've been forced to reduce costs to weather the economic storm. This means that some have had to give up chalupa burritos and Shake Shack burgers and for canned meat. Significant consumer shifts are underway in the Western world and other places. A global downturn will persist through the year end without forming a V-shaped recovery. Bloomberg notes that consumption of canned beef is exploding. U.S. sales surged more than 70% in the last 15 weeks, ending in June 13th. A similar story is playing out in parts of Europe and Asia. At first, people were loading up on pantry staples with a long shelf life during lockdown conditions. Then shortages of some fresh meat supplies, especially in the U.S., also helped to drive sales. Now the economic downturn is underpinning demand. There's the obvious factor of income here. With millions thrown out of work in the last few months, consumers are looking for a way to get cut back on grocery bills, and they're trading in fresh meat for canned varieties. But there's also something deeper going on, the return to comfort food, nostalgia in troubled times, Bloomberg says. So if you want to buy stock and Spam, Melody, we'd all been rich right now.
Yeah, how about that?
You know, who would have thunk it? You know, I mean, canned meats, I've eaten many times, but I just never thought it'd be a 70% upturn in the selling of canned meats. 70%. That is a huge number to think about. Because they couldn't afford to eat out anymore, or you know, couldn't even find fresh meat. But the price of beef, have you priced beef in the store lately? Have you looked at any of it?
Not really.
Well, I haven't either, but I had a friend tell me yesterday, him and his dad looked at a couple of steaks at Food Line in Somerville, West Virginia. Two steaks, $20-some for two steaks.
They must have been big ones.
I had no idea, but that price of beef went through the roof. I know that I have people
really
to sell
them. Everything is.
It is. I know I have people selling beef, cut and wrapped, $8 a pound. and that's up over twice what mine was last time I sold it. So, you know, that's fairly expensive. And we're talking about hamburger too, $8 a pound. So this that's quite a bit of money. Of course, it's fresh beef. Understand that. But in Venezuela, they got this isn't funny, but it kind of is too. Race horses eaten. Venezuelans were left shocked this
you
week.
Think that's kind of funny.
Well, it is the fact that somebody got a racehorse worth who the much money, and somebody walks off with it and eats it. But anyway, left shocked this week after a famous racehorse was stolen and butchered for meat. Now this is sad, really. Ocean Bay, a purebred stallion, won two of the country's Triple Crown races in 2016. What a disgrace, tweeted Ramon Garcia, the stallion's longtime trainer. This isn't the Venezuela that I grew up in, no doubt. And folks, this is not the country I grew up in either. This will get worse. After years of economic crisis, the United Nations estimates about 9 million Venezuelans, about a third of the population, now don't have enough to eat. Many families can't afford food because hyperinflation has eroded the minimum wage to about $4 a month. Ocean Bay's mother and six other horses from the same stable were stolen and slaughtered earlier this year. Now, this is terrible. It really is. And I say it's funny. It's not really funny in a sense, but you go out, you got a racehorse worth millions of dollars, and somebody takes it and butchers it. That's desperate people. And we're talking about in Venezuela, where it was the wealthiest nation in South America for a while. And he said, this is the country. This is not the country you grew up in. Folks, America already is not the country I grew up in. Not even close. The economic situation is going to be so much worse that you may see people eating their dogs and cats, as it did in Venezuela. And you say, well, it can't happen here. Oh, my people, we got to get over that arrogant kick. It can, not only can happen here, it is happening here. And it's going to get worse. Understand that. It's going to get worse because cities that can't pay their bills because to cut taxes are going to cut back services and jobs are going to be lost again. We got almost 48 million people out of work still. And you tell me it can't happen here. Now, all the government gives money bills out. That will not go on very long. It can't. It can't go on forever. It can't. Eventually, Melody, I do believe, God help us, I hate to say this, we're going to see people in this country, who knows, if you raise cattle, you better put a guard on them. If you have pets, you better keep them in the house. It not only could happen, it's going to happen here, especially in the bigger cities, if you follow what I mean by that.
Oh, my little Ruby's too scrawny.
We'll make good hot dog, okay. But this is a sad statement to say that. I mean, they're stealing horses, race horses, and eating because they're hungry. But what are they going to do if they can't eat? What will people do if they can't eat? Will they steal? Obviously. Will they kill? Of course. They have children to feed. And some people are so selfish, they do it anyway because it's just for themselves. They don't care about even if they don't have families who are killed to eat because that's just how they are. If you have children starving to death, your neighbor has a cow, and you get your hands on it, guess what? You're going to lose it.
Yeah.
It's coming to that. It really is coming to that. But I thought I'd share this story. That's so sad.
Well, I'll tell you what.
About butchering horses.
I never thought I would. I mean, you know, it's funny how we've, for how many years? Yeah, I'm going to go back 25 years and say we've talked about social unrest. We've seen it here. We've seen periods of it. We've talked about it. We've talked about what would beginning, what it would be a, you know, a racist thing. That's what I always thought it would start out as, and it is. But there was other reasons that we could have had social unrest, and we've talked about it. And we, you know, and again, as I said, we experienced it every now and then. But here it is now, worse than I ever saw it, what we've ever experienced. And I never, it just is, it's shocking to see what is happening and to know that it's going to get worse.
Yes.
Not better. And
what breaks your heart is you're trying to warn the people and the masses just will not hear you.
I don't want to say the fight, but the disagreements and what they're doing, it doesn't even make sense. It's just people that are running wild, acting like animals. They have no cause. They have no other reason for doing it than they're animals.
That's right.
And it's that's the part that's frightening. Heck, if they, you know, if they had a legitimate reason, but they don't. And what they're destroying, and then not seeing anyone stop them, that's what's even more frightening and more disturbing. Not frightening, but disturbing.
Well, you know, along those lines, but somebody stopping them, this is the next two articles. The D.C. National Guard is provided unarmed security for monuments in D.C.
Unarmed?
And Trump, unarmed National Guard. It's against the law to put military on the streets and on civilians. It is. Unarmed, it has to be unarmed, although that's still a step in the wrong direction. Because they want you to go unarmed, it'll soon be armed. The U.S. Marshals also told repair to help protect monuments nationwide as Trump targets people who vandalize structures during protests. I agree with Trump on that. I agree we need to stop this. This is insane. Insane. Totally insane. But not because they hate slavery or Black Lives Matter. They're doing it because they hate what the country once stood for. And that's why. But it's communism being instigated by people that want to take your station down, and they're doing it very well. But the D.C. National Guard will provide unarmed security in D.C., and Marshall would provide security for structures around the country. Now, this is what's happening in America, Melody. This is not the country that I grew up in.
No.
It isn't. And the military in the streets, unarmed or armed, to provide police action is unconstitutional. But it's already started. The National Guard to help people in flood stuff, that's a different thing. But to provide police action is totally unconstitutional. But
what do you do to stop them?
That's
Isn't
the whole
that what
point.
The police forces are supposed
that's
to do?
That's what they're supposed to be. The police force and sheriffs and everything else. Yes, you're right.
And they're not doing it, so who overrides that?
This is where we are. This is what they want division.
They do.
They're causing chaos in order to bring more of a police state. Henry Kissinger said back in the 70s, I can't remember that was exactly what he said, but this he said along these lines that, today, Americans wouldn't be upset if they saw UN troops in the streets. One day, they're going to welcome the troops in the streets. It's coming to America. It's coming to America. And one more thing I got covered for in our time, too. This is important. You're not going to believe this. This is so absurd. And it's going to cause so much chaos. Oregon County issues face mask order that exempts non-white people. This is New York Post, folks. I'm not making this up. Lincoln County, Oregon, exempted non-white people from the new order requiring that face covering be worn in public to prevent racial profiling. Health officials announced last week that residents must wear a face covering in public settings where they may come in within 6 feet of another individual who is not from the same household. But people of color do not have to follow the new rule if they have heightened concerns about racial profiling and harassment over wearing the mask, officials said. Is that going to cause problems? Of course it is, and I understand it would. Melody, this is totally flip-flopped in ways that I don't think people could. I don't think people 6 months ago could even conceive of this idea.
I don't mean to laugh, but
well,
I don't know what else to do.
I mean, colored folks won't have to wear a mask, but white people have to. I do believe that, in my eye, is racial profiling in the opposite direction. What do you think?
Well, I think it's...
It's causing chaos.
It is.
So that's why we need UN troops in the street to keep the people from fighting among themselves. Now, I do understand that the mayor of Seattle is finally going to take that square, that's blocks back in Seattle. Is that true? Because they post...
Well, the protesters are done with it. They probably don't have enough food anymore. They're bored. They want to move on, probably. I mean, that's one thing about these protesters and people like that. They get worn out. They don't get the attention that they were getting. And, you know, they have no staying power. I mean, thank goodness. But so they'll probably just walk away.
But the sad part was he didn't...
The government will come in and say, you know, we're removing you.
Oh, yeah. Well, she didn't get upset until they come to her house and protest there. Then she called them. Then she called them terrorists, domestic terrorists.
Oh,
now all of a sudden they're bad people. And up until that time, she liked them being there.
Yeah.
This is not the America I was born into. Not even
what
close.
Happens when you get a female Democrat in office. I'm sorry, but
that's true. I agree. That's what it's what happened when the people when the nation forgets its moral values also. Because morality causes people to have backbone and righteous indignation. We've lost that. Mm-hmm. We've lost that. So anyway, don't go to Oregon if you don't wear a face mask because you'll be racially profiled.
The bankrupt GNC, they're going to close nearly 1,400 stores. But before they close their 1,400 stores, they're going to pay their CEO a $2 million bonus. Isn't that grand? GNC is the 85-year-old seller of vitamins and dietary
supplements.
Yep. They filed late Tuesday, and they're going to be closing as many 1,347 stores, or nearly half of its company's owned locations in the U.S. and Canada by the end of the year.
You well, know, I hate to see that CEO have to struggle buying $2 million.
That's just the bonus.
Yeah, I hate to see that struggle. That's terrible. Yeah. He deserves double that much. Gee. Oh, my.
Yeah. But, you know, and it's not going to help because sad. Americans are avoiding stores. People don't want to go into the stores. You know, they're scared to go into the stores. So how is that going to help the economies in these small areas? We're out of time, Butch. That time went by fast. 1-800-375-4188. Thank you for joining me this afternoon, Butch. Thank you, listeners, for joining us also. And we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Bye-bye.